You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
So special thank you to one of our trustees. It's cool in here because our trustees are keeping things running, and so we appreciate them and all that they do. Thank you to Pastor Solomon and our elder Will Longenecker for preaching while I was away. Their series, The Practices of a Strong Church, was certainly fitting, certainly a very helpful series. If you missed any of those messages, I would encourage you. You can watch or listen to them online at our website, bethelcommunity.org. So make sure if you missed one, that you go back and listen to them. And a reminder for all of our children, we are not dismissing Bethel kids at this time. The reason that we are not dismissing them is during the month of July, we're hoping to give those who serve in Bethel Kids some time off, and thank you to all of you who regularly serve in Bethel Kids. So the kindergarten through fifth graders are going to be with us today. If you didn't receive the Bethel Kids activity, it is available over in the Bethel Kids sign-in area. Make sure that you get it, that you fill it out, because there will be a reward for filling them all out. That's only for kids. That's not for the youth or adults, mind you. But it's by God's good and wise providence this morning that we come to Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, and that's on page 979 in the Bible that's provided. But we come to this passage this morning with the Bethel kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, with us. And it is an appropriate passage because it addresses both children and parents. Over the last few months, we have addressed parenting on several occasions. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Solomon preached from Psalm 128 on how important strong families are to strong churches. And we see this again today. God recognizes, and God created it this way, that families are important to the life of His people. And so as we come again to this passage, as a parent, I can tell you, I am no expert on parenting. Often I am trying to figure things out myself. But God speaks to us regularly about parenting, and His Word is always the place to look. And it's important in this day that has been called an age of entitlement that we look to God's Word in these days of difficulties in parenting and grandparenting to learn how to do things God's way and to see God's calling for both parents and children. And so look with me at the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of God's Spirit, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The late Pastor Donald Barnhouse tells of a missionary family who were living in the Congo and playing not far from their missionary home in their garden was a little boy named Philip. And as Philip was playing one day, his father cried out to him, "Philip, obey me instantly. Get down on your stomach. The boy responded immediately, and his father continued, Philip, now crawl to me quickly. And the boy again obeyed. And after he had come about halfway, his father said, Now stand up and run to me. And so Philip ran to his father. And as he got to his father, he looked back and he saw right above where he was, hanging from the trees, a 15-foot snake hanging over the garden. Sometimes obedience is the difference between life and death. That's often the case when children are playing, for instance, near a busy street. And yet often obedience isn't so dramatic as this, is it? And yet it's always for our good. You know, you may not understand why you have to obey something, children. But God designed children to learn to obey from their parents for their good. Likewise, God calls parents to obey him by teaching their children to obey and respect those in authority. So the main idea for us today is, children, obey and honor your parents in the Lord. Parents, especially fathers, care for and raise your children in God's ways. Now, back in chapter 5, verse 22, the Apostle Paul began addressing Christian families and how they are to live, and he's continuing to do so today. And he does so because our families are a witness to a watching world of what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ. Our families are like a display case or a display window through which people can see what it looks like to be a Christian. They can see the beauty and the goodness and the rightness of living God's way. Well, in this passage, God gives two commands to children in verses 1 through 3. And then in verse 4, he gives two commands to parents. So to address children first, children, God calls you to obey your parents. God commands you to obey your parents. Well, what does obedience mean if God is commanding you? The word that in Greek is translated obedience here comes from a root word meaning to hear or to listen. And that's a good place to begin. In order to obey, children, you have to listen. You have to hear what your parents are saying, but we have to go beyond that. Obedience, as one defined it, means to do what you are told the first time, right away, and with a glad and happy heart. To obey means you do what you're told the first time you're told. You do it immediately and you do it with a glad heart. I want to get a little participation from our children today. The children, raise your hand if you always like to obey your parents. Every time your parents say something, you just immediately want to do what they say. Any hands? Okay, I said children, not adults. And so when you're playing outside or you're playing video games and your parents tell you, hey, come on, we're going to have dinner, is your immediate response, oh, yes, I'm going to go on in. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. Or maybe your dad or your mom tell you, hey, take only one piece of candy or one cookie. And you think, that's what I want to do because dad and mom told me to. Or maybe they tell you to share with your siblings or, you know, your brother, your sister hits you, and your parents are telling you, don't hit them back. Immediately you're thinking, that's exactly what I want to do because mom and dad said so. I'm not going to hit them. It's hard to obey, isn't it? I mean, I think even of the Apostle Peter. When on the night he's out fishing, Jesus comes along and Peter's been fishing all night. And Jesus says, throw the net on the other side of the boat. And Peter's a seasoned fisherman. He's been fishing in the Sea of Galilee all of his life. And I'm not surprised that Peter should complain and then finally do what Jesus says. Peter didn't really obey Jesus. But isn't that how we often live as well, children? Your parents tell you to go clean your room when you want to play. So maybe, you know, they have to tell you multiple times, hey, go clean your room. No, clean your room, before you finally do so. Is that obedience? Or maybe you dilly-dally and what should take you 5 minutes ends up taking you an hour. Is that really obedience? Or you start grumbling, you start moaning and complaining. Is that really obedience? Why is it so hard to obey? The reason is because we're all sinners. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We don't want to listen to what others tell us to do, especially when we don't want to do it. But children, God is your all-wise, good creator. He made you. He loves you. His plans for you are only for your true good. And so it's God who commands you to obey your parents. This isn't your dad and mom's idea. This is God's idea. But what that means is when you disobey your parents, really what you're doing is you're disobeying God. So let that sink in for a moment. That's why disobeying is such a big problem. But that's why we all need the Savior, isn't it? As Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Yes, that means that you are to obey God by obeying your parents. But even more than that, as Paul has been showing us, we all are sinners who desperately need a Savior. When you disobey your parents, you're sinning against God who made you. But that's why God sent Jesus into the world. Jesus came into the world to die on the cross for our sins, sins like disobeying your parents, so that you can be forgiven and reconciled to God. And so, children, that's where I would call you to begin. God calls you to turn from your sin and to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be forgiven and to become a child of God. God will make you new. The Spirit of Christ will come into you so that you then might have the help of God to obey, because that is exactly what you need. And so you are to obey your parents in the Lord, not your own strength, by the grace and help of God, because this is right, Paul says. Think about that. What that means is it's wrong to disobey your parents. It goes against the way that God created the world to operate. It goes against God's purposes. That's why it's right, it's fitting, it's proper, it's good to obey your parents. That's the way that God made the world. Now, let me be clear. If your parents are telling you to disobey something that God has clearly said in the Bible, then you are to obey God rather than man. But you should do so respectfully toward your parents, explaining to them, well, God tells me to do this, and so I'm going to obey what God tells me. Do that with respect toward them. But certainly Christian parents, if they find out, they'll quickly repent and say, oh, you're right, go with what God says. But even if your parents are unbelievers, God calls you to obey your parents in what they tell you insofar as they don't go against what God clearly says in the Bible. The reason for that is parents have a derived authority. Authority is derived from God. He is the highest authority. And so children, God calls you to obey your parents, but that's not all. Children, you are to also honor your parents. You see, your obedience isn't to be begrudging, so it's sort of a, all right, I'll grit my teeth and do it. No, it's to be because you respect and honor your parents. I mean, think about that. Of all the people in the world, and God could have chosen anybody to be your parents, God gave you the parents who you have. And so you're to honor them and respect them. When Paul says, honor your father and mother, he's quoting from the Ten Commandments. This is the fifth commandment. He's probably quoting specifically from Deuteronomy 5:16 that says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Notice first, children, honoring your parents is commanded by God. God commands you to honor them. So look for ways that you can truly honor them. Be thankful for the parents whom God has given you, because if you're thankful, you'll honor them. Look for ways in which they provide for you, in ways which they protect and watch over you. Look for ways in which they seek to have fun with you. They seek to give you a good education. And certainly more than that, if your parents are raising you in God's ways, that is the best inheritance that they can possibly give you. So receive it gladly and honor your parents for doing so. Because by honoring them, you are honoring the God who made them your parents. And what Paul says here is certainly true for children who are in the home, and primarily that's who he's speaking to. But what he says here is actually true for every one of us, whether you're still at home with your parents or not. Even after you've left your home, even if you don't have that great of a relationship with your parents, you are still to honor them and respect them and to care for them. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 and 4, he says, the church is to honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. So it's godliness. It's pleasing to God to care for your parents or your grandparents as they age. You know, we actually have a good example of this in our nation's first president, George Washington. Reading a biography on Washington, and his father died when he was around 11 years old, and then, his mother lived on. But she was a notoriously difficult woman. And so she didn't want him to join the military. She didn't like it when he became the general of the American forces in the War for Independence. She was unhappy when he became the first president of the U.S. Most mothers probably would have been proud. She even claimed publicly that he was neglecting her and failing to care for her. And yet, President Washington never spoke poorly of her publicly. In fact, he continued to provide for her. He continued to visit her when he was able with all of his duties. He continued to honor his mother until she died. So it is, children, God commands you to honor your parents. And as Paul says, this is for your good, for your benefit. As Paul says, this is the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. You see, the context here is that this was given under the Old Covenant, and the Israelite parents were to train their children how they were to live God's ways. And so their children were to honor them by living in the ways that they were taught, God's ways. And if they did so, they would receive the blessings of the covenant. It would go well with them in the land of Canaan where they were going. But if they disobeyed, if they rejected God's covenant, went against their parents, they would instead die in exile. This was so important that God even commanded that the children who lived in defiance of their parents under the old covenant, they were to be put to death. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21 says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. They shall say to the elders of his city, 'This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Imagine if we did that here in Chicago. And yet we are no longer under the old covenant. We are under the new. But why was God so harsh, so it seems? Well, the reason is because this rebelliousness would spread like a disease, and others in Israel would start to disobey their parents in the same way. They would walk away from God, and Israel would end up dying in exile. Well, the Apostle Paul takes this, and he generalizes this promise for us today. It's from your parents that you will learn to obey the authorities in your life. You will learn to honor God. And so honoring your parents doesn't guarantee that you won't die of cancer, doesn't guarantee that you won't die in a traffic accident, but think of how much less likely you are to die in a traffic accident if you learn from your parents to drive safely. Likewise, you're far less likely to die from gang violence. You're far less likely to die of a drug overdose if you're obeying and honoring your parents. This is the way that God created the world to work. And so we need to learn to honor and respect our parents, children. Before we move on to the role of parents, I want to say a word to our parents. You know, it may sound strange to you to hear that you are to obey or you are to teach your children to obey and honor and respect you. I mean, after all, doesn't it sound a little self-serving? Yeah, you need to obey me. You need to honor me. Why? Because I said so. No. Ultimately, it's because God says so. It's God who is calling you to do this. And as a church, we want to come alongside of you and support and equip you in this. If there is some way that we can help you, come and talk with me. Come and talk with Pastor Solomon. We'll be glad to assist you in it. But we can't do this for you. It's your job to lovingly teach them to obey and honor you, and so to obey and honor those in authority. So parents, how are you then to raise your children? Well, God gives you two commands here in verse 4. He says you are not to provoke your children to anger, and you are to bring them up. You are to raise them in God's ways. That word, bring them up, could also be translated as nurture, or you're to nourish them. It's the same verb that Paul used back in chapter 5, verse 29, when he says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but," notice that word, "he nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church." And so in the same way that husbands are to care for their wives, and as Christ cares for the church, so parents, you are to care for and to nourish your children, raising them in God's ways. And though men and women are equal, though father and mother are equal, yet fathers are the leaders in their homes. And so God is going to hold fathers responsible for how we raise our children. And so that is what Paul does here. He addresses fathers primarily. Even if your wife spends more time with your children than you do, God is going to hold you responsible, fathers. And so while this is applicable both to dads and moms and certainly to single mothers, first and foremost, Paul addresses fathers, and so that's how I'm going to word it. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't provoke your children to anger. Now, Paul says that in a context very different than our own in the first century. See, in the first century, the paterfamilias of Roman society had absolute power over everyone in his household. Commentator William Barclay explains, he says, a Roman father had absolute power over his family. He could see them as slaves. He could make them work in his fields, even in chains. He could take the law into his own hands, for law was in his own hands. He could punish as he liked. He could even inflict the death penalty on his child. Further, the power of the Roman father extended over the child's whole life so long as the father lived. And men, thankfully, our society doesn't work this way. And men, I would assume that you aren't doing anything to try to irritate and provoke your children intentionally. If you are, God calls you to repent. But we must be careful how we interact with our children. I remember growing up, there was a young man when I was in elementary and middle school who was very skilled at sports, especially he was skilled at basketball. And when he was playing, he could score half the points that his team would score. He was that good. He was better than all the other kids. And yet you'd never know it from the way that his father spoke to him from the bleachers. If his son made a bad pass or his son missed an easy shot, his father would yell down at him about how horrible he was as a player, how bad he was doing. He would scream at him and rant at him. You know, I interacted with this young man outside of his time playing sports. And I remember he was often hard to get along with. He was often irritable. And looking back, I think it's because of the way that his father treated him. His father never seemed to in any way affirm or encourage him, but instead was just always harsh and demeaning, putting him down. Men, we need to be careful that we don't do the same, provoking our children to anger. And so we shouldn't be harsh or demeaning and certainly not abusive. We can't be arbitrary with our children or try to humiliate them or be unfair with them. We need to be consistent with them. Otherwise, they're going to wonder, okay, obedience is this day. What's it going to be tomorrow? We can't be unreasonable with them. Need to remember that they're children or youth. So we need to show them love. We need to affirm and encourage them. Remember that ultimately, that dear son or daughter doesn't belong to you, but belongs to God. You are but a steward of his or her life. And so cherish them. Care for them God's way. You know, it's not enough for God just to tell us what not to do. Thankfully, God shows us what we are to do in verse 4 as well. He gives us a positive goal. And if you think of Psalm 127, it's got that great image that children are like arrows. What are we to do? Well, we're to shoot them out. We're not to shoot them. We're to shoot them out into the world, aiming them at Christ and what he would have for them. Point your children to the Lord Jesus. Fathers, as Paul says, raise your children in God's ways. Remember that they are sinners. And so what that means is that it's not going to come naturally to them to live God's ways. Parenting is evangelism. 1926, the Minnesota Crime Commission published words that a government organization would never say today. Minnesota Crime Commission said, every baby starts out life as a little savage. He's completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it, his bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch, or whatever. Deny him these, and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty, he has no morals, no knowledge, no developed skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, and a rapist. Thank God for parents to teach children the ways of the Lord. What this means is that parents, because your children are sinners, it's going to be a spiritual battle day in and day out for their souls, for their hearts. And so God commands us to raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That first word, discipline, could also be translated training. It's a rather general term. The point is, just as you would have to train your children to play a musical instrument or to play sports, so you have to train them in God's ways, patiently cultivating their minds with God's commands, teaching them to know God as He is, as the Holy One, teaching them to know that God is loving and gracious and kind, teaching them the difference between good and evil, training them that character is more important than competence, training them that wisdom is to be valued over wealth. Likewise, you are to train them, or you are to raise them in the admonition of the Lord, or the instruction of the Lord, both in what you positively affirm and encourage them in, but also then in correcting them, disciplining them, teaching them the way that they should go. Now, parents, let me be clear.